Countess Marcello was a dark-haired woman with a quiet manner and an expression of infinite patience. She pressed her free hand against her ear to shut out the noise, and heard Girolamo Marcello say that the Fenice had caught fire and was burning out of control. "It's gone," he said. "There is nothing anybody can do. But at least we are all safe, and so far the fire has not spread." Lessa sank into a chair by the window, dazed. Tears welled in her eyes as she tried to absorb the news. For generations, her family had played a prominent role in the affairs of Venice. Her grandfather had been mayor between the wars. She gazed blankly out the window. The setting sun cast shimmering red and orange reflections on the glass skyscrapers of Wall Street, creating an effect that made it look, to her eyes, as though the city were on fire. She turned away. "God, no," B. Guthrie gasped when Lessa told her about the Fenice. Mrs. Guthrie was the executive director of Save Venice. She put down the centerpiece she had been working on as a look of panic crossed her face. In an instant, the masked ball had been reduced to a horribly inappropriate frivolity, and it was too late to cancel it. 600 costumed merrymakers would be arriving at the Rainbow Room in a matter of hours, dressed as gondoliers, popes, doges, courtesans, Marco Polos, Shylocks, Casanovas, and Tadzios, and there was nothing anybody could do to head them off. The guest of honor, Signora Lamberto Dini, the wife of Italy's prime minister, would certainly have to bow out, and that would only emphasize the inappropriateness of the ball. Clearly the party would turn into a wake. Something had to be done. But what? B. Guthrie called her husband, Bob Guthrie, who was president of Save Venice and chief of reconstructive and plastic surgery at New York Downtown Hospital. Dr. Guthrie was in the operating room. She then called Larry Lovett, the chairman of Save Venice. Lovett had been chairman of both the Metropolitan Opera Guild and the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. In recent years, he had bought a palace on the Grand Canal and made it his principal residence. He reacted to the news with as much anger as sadness. Whatever the cause had been, he was certain that negligence had been a contributing factor, knowing the way things worked in Venice. Dr. Guthrie heard the news as he was coming out of the operating room. His shock was tempered by a dash of pragmatism. "Well," he said, "there goes the curtain we just restored for $100,000. Neither Larry Lovett nor Bob Guthrie could suggest any quick fix for the party. It would simply have to go on as planned. For one fleeting moment, they all wondered whether it might be possible to say nothing about the fire, assuming that only a few people would have heard about it before coming to the ball. But that, they decided, might only make matters worse. B. Guthrie returned her attention to her unfinished centerpiece as a smiling, ruddy-faced man with dark, curly hair came walking into the Rainbow Room and waved to her. He was Emilio Patis, a Venetian restaurateur who had also been flown to New York by Save Venice to cook dinner for 600 people tonight. He was just now pacing off the distance from the stoves on the 64th floor to the tables here on the 65th. As he walked, he kept looking at his watch. His main concern was the white truffle and porcini mushroom risotto. "The final 2 minutes of cooking happen after you take the risotto off the fire," he was saying to the head waiter walking beside him. "When it comes off the stove, it is absorbing water very quickly, and in exactly 2 minutes it will be done. It must be served on the plate immediately, or it will turn to mush. We have 2 minutes to get it from the stoves downstairs to the plates up here. 2 minutes, no more." When Signor Patis reached the far side of the room, he looked at his watch and then looked back at B. Guthrie, beaming. 1 minute and 45 seconds, va bene, good. Later in the afternoon, when the decorations were finished, B. Guthrie went home to change, depressed, dreading the next several hours. But then the guest of honor, Signora Dini, called with an idea. "I think I know what we can do," she said, "if it meets with your approval. I will come to the ball tonight. After the guests have arrived and the announcement is made about the fire, I will say, speaking for all Italians, that we are very grateful that this afternoon the board of directors of Save Venice agreed that all the money raised tonight will be dedicated to rebuilding the Fenice. That would put a positive spin on the evening. The Save Venice board could be canvassed quickly and they would surely agree. Suddenly feeling much better, Mrs. Guthrie went upstairs and laid out her harlequin costume in preparation for the ball.